This morning, we're going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 40. So let's open, if you want to open your Bible, Isaiah chapter 40. let me just make sure. Actually, I'm going to preview a little bit here. And Isaiah chapter 35, there's a couple verses, 1 and 2. You know, this, I'm thinking about the first two, comfort ye is this thought that's in the verse part of chapter 40. So, in Isaiah chapter 35, though, the first couple verses are, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellence of our God. You know, this idea of being in a kind of dry and tough place, you know, how many times do we go through these things where we're just, Lord, please, can I just give me a break? I mean, think of Ziggy right now. I think of poor Ziggy. And this is for him. It's like, it's okay. Comfort you. You're going through a tough place. But there is great joy and comfort in the Lord. And he will love you. He'll take care of you. And, you know, you may feel like you're in the wilderness, but that desert place, when you're watered with the love of Christ and his word and his fellowship of the saints, can be amazing. I thought of Chuck when I was doing this, and I looked up some those pictures. You know, Death Valley is just like, you ever see pictures of Death Valley? And it's just the sand. But every now and then, what happens in the spring? It blooms. And it just takes a rain, and it's just like fields of flowers. It just blooms, you know? And it's just amazing. And we have those times in our life, don't we? When you just feel like, it's dry and I'm dying here, Lord. You know, help me. And then he just rains his blessings down and he brings these things and he brings things to us. And that's what we're talking about now in Isaiah chapter 40, right? Where it says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. So the first, I look at that, why does he say it twice? I think comfort ye, you know, comfort you. That's everybody. To me, I just said, well, that's everybody. I don't care who you are, if you're an Israelite, if you're from somebody. This is God's word. It's for everyone. So you're going through a tough time. You're in that desert place. Take a deep breath and just don't worry. The Lord will take care of you. He just loves you. He loves you. In fact, that's, I think, the song I asked Laura to play when we're done closing is God Will Take Care of You. Is that the one, I think? It's just, that's just one of my favorite hymns. He'll take care of us. Comfort ye my people. You know, he is, if you're his people and you have accepted the Lord, you know, he is going to take care of you. Comfort ye for everyone. He is the beginning. He's the end. God is the God of all. He is, you know, is he your God? There's a question for you. Is he your God? Is the God that we're hearing of here in Isaiah chapter 40, is he your God? Get to know him. Get to know him. Because comfort ye my people, those who are his, my people, Israel, right? Non-Israelites who believed in the one true God, right? There's his people. The one true God, the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Then it says, Seth, your God. He's your God. Whether you know him or not, whether you are a Christian or not, people, everyone you see on the street, guess whose God is their God? He's God. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And whether we know it or not, and whether they know it or not, he's their God. And he wants them to be comforted by his love. take a deep breath. Just inhale, exhale slowly. You know, we sing with the Wayne Oratorio, and you're going to hear this. Kathy and I sing with them. And one of our exercises is, before we sing, is you just take a deep breath in and slowly let it out. Like 4 or 5 seconds in, and then like 7 seconds just breathe slowly. Sometimes he'll give us a tempo almost, and we'll go, and it's just like just to relax, because we're about to sing when we meet with this 200 voice choir. We're going to sing the word of God. So it sets your mind in a great place to really think about who this person is that we're singing of, this great Messiah. At this point, let's hear from the Messiah this first section, Comfort Ye. Disc 1, Part 1, Track 2. I hope Neil's got this. I gave him a whole list. We'll see if this works. We've heard now, be comfortable, relax in God. Take a look, I can just read. I'll read to you a verse here in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Has anybody ever heard about what that is? What is this, make your path straight? What is that? I thought we weren't supposed to follow the wide and straight path, right? You hear, oh, no, don't go, that's easy, you know. Don't follow the easy path. But what would happen when a king or a president is coming by road? Well, what happens? What happens when you're driving down I-95 and everything all of a sudden stops and then you realize, oh, the president's in town? Well, they've prepared the way for the president. They've made the road clear, right, for him, for the dignitary. Sorry, the road is made ready for the dignitary. And in ancient times, literally, the trail or the path, which still are some of the roads around here, are old Indian trails that were turned into paths and then made into roads and single-lane roads and double roads. Well, you know, the path was literally made flat and straight. If you know the Lord as your Savior, you can think about this in your life as you're going through things. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 1. And what I'm going to try and jump around because I was going to read the whole chapter, but the point here is the birth of John the Baptist, right? This was the way that was prepared before Jesus' coming. What did John the Baptist do? It came to pass, let's see, I was talking about, this is the foretelling of John's birth. And if you look at verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the court of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God. Verse 7, and they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. They were both now well stricken in years. They were too old to have kids, in other words, right? Well, verse 11, there appeared to Zechariah an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Zechariah was a priest. He was in the temple, and here this angel appeared to him. Verse 13, but the angel said to him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready and prepare people prepared for the Lord. That's what we were just hearing in that part where it says, a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight the path, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. One other thing just to think about what has happened and what is, I think about this, how through time our the knowing and the communication we have now of knowing this Savior, how, I guess, is it easy? It's easy if you're looking for the Lord and you desire to find him, it's easy. The way has been made clear and straight. Internet, cell phones, Bibles online, you know, if you want to find the Lord, he's there to find. He's there for you. And if you know the Lord as your Savior, you know, read that section at some point in Luke and what's going on between Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, and even maybe read it, guys, read it from the woman's perspective. How would you feel knowing that the Lord, something's happening, and the Lord is being, the preparation is coming up something's happening. And women, read it from the guy's perspective. How would you feel as a father? And you know, it's like, as a man, just look at the perspective of what is going on here, you know? One last thought on this section about making the highways straight and the roads flat and the rough places plain, right? So that it's easy to find this Lord. I do remember, I wanted to tell this story from when we were at, I was a young man at Delaware County Christian School, and I don't know if how many of you remember Dr. Roberts was a teacher there, and he would take us to where these road cuts were made on the highways. Remember Eisenhower, the great president? He cut these great interstate highways through, and wow, did that expose these huge areas of the earth that have been moved and shaped by God's hand. And what did we find there? He would have us look for fossils, you know? And you'd find them. He was great. He was just great. You know, those were man's attempts at making straight the way, you know, making the roads flat, right? But it was incredible, for one, to see God's handiwork in that, and incredible, too, that this teacher was willing to take us to these places and show us how to find fossils, and they were truly there by the hundreds, and then show us, teach us that this was part of God's creation. What a wonderful thing. And again, something we can be comforted in. All right. Isaiah 40, verse 5 says, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." How are we going to remember when this happened, right? This is Isaiah. This is hundreds of years before Christ came. Let's listen to this section of the Messiah.
Did you skip a section?
You skipped
verse 4.
Oh, and the glory of... Oh, yeah. I guess I did. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain shall be low. That's true. That's what I was just talking about. Let's listen to that first.
Every valley
So he's made this easy way to come see him. We have to remember that. And he wants to speak with him. He wants to be, the Lord wants us to be in communication with him. And now back to the prophecy, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. That's in, let's listen to that next section now. This is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5. It? Who said this was going to happen? The mouth of the Lord. God's promises are true. They're good yesterday, today, forever. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. He is our God. He is our comforter. He loves each one of us and cares for us. I want us to look at John, if you could, if you want to turn there, or I can just read it to you. John chapter 1, verse 29. You know, we've talked about this exposition of Jesus being revealed in Isaiah. So much prophecy, so much seeing what was going to happen and who was going to come and all this. What if nobody recognized him? What if, think of it. What if nobody recognized him? His birth was, you got to remember that. If you're a shepherd in the field and you saw that, the angels came. If you're Elizabeth, if you're Mary, and the angel literally speaks to you and tells you what's going on, you know, it's amazing. You think you would remember it. But now here we are, say, Jesus is born, John's born. He's talking about the coming of Jesus, right? And it's been 30 years almost. Look at John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I mean, wow! Somebody recognized him. I've been walking through Home Depot at times, and a guy I haven't seen in years is like, Ned, how are you? You know, they recognize me. I haven't seen him for 10 years, so they recognize you. But John not only recognized Jesus from his birth and from who he was when he was a baby or whatever it was, he recognized that Jesus was the Lamb of God who was going to take away the sin of the world. Did John know how he was going to do it? Well, maybe he did if he knew Isaiah 53. But let's start with John actually recognizing Jesus. Let's listen to that section.
Oh,
again, prophecy fulfilled. He knew who he was looking at. John saw Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's a big chunk, a big statement to make. But John knew who he was looking at. In Isaiah 53, verse 4, it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Prophecy about our Lord Jesus Christ, hundreds of years again before he came. Let's listen to Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Amazing what the book of Isaiah has in it on prophecies about our Lord Jesus Christ, about what's going on. So think about this. What was going on for the hundreds of years that people read these scriptures, these verses, most intensely scrutinized and labored over, identical copies made by the scribes for centuries? And yet, here when Jesus came, did people recognize him? We know John very clearly said that. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. There was so much, the scripture is so full here, especially in Isaiah, of prophecies of Jesus and who he is. And so now we are 2 centuries. 2,000 years past the time of Christ, just about, right? And here we are, still looking at these. What do you think? What are you thinking now? You know, what do we think of this one who came to bear our sins, carry our sorrows, who came to give his life for us. The Lamb of God was sacrificed to take away the sins of the world. And not just the world. Think about this in time. So here we are. We're right here in time. But time goes on in either direction. The sins of the world, past, present, and future. He is the one who's done it all. We're past time. I wanted to listen to a couple more parts. There's the Worthy is the Lamb and the Amen chorus, but it's pretty long. I don't want to keep us here late. I know the weather's going to turn bad soon. But think about this. Be comforted knowing that this amazing God we have loves us, cares for us. When we're going through our tough times, he's there with us. He is borne our griefs. He's carried our sorrows. Will we let him do that? Are we willing to let go and let him carry our griefs and our sorrows? You can ask my wife. It's a real tough thing for me. I sometimes like to just hang on to that. Let me suffer with this for a minute and just be, you know? It's not, but it's like, he's done it. It's going to be fine. Be comforted in our wonderful Lord and Savior. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb of God, for he does love us. He is amazing, amazing Savior. We are so, so blessed to know him. If you don't know him, if for some reason you don't know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, take time, think. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, this Jesus, that whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. For God didn't come into the world to condemn the world. He didn't come into this world to condemn the world, but to save the world. So be comforted in that. Let's pray. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, thank you so much for your love for us. This thing that we know here is Christianity, Lord, we are Christians. We are followers of Christ. But what is that, Lord? It's not just this little thing that's we're gonna claim ourselves to be, Lord. We're gonna live forever because of you, Lord. We are gonna live twice. We're only gonna die one time because you've promised, and we trust your promises, and we trust what you've done for us. You are an amazing God, and you span beyond what our minds can comprehend, Lord. But we thank you for bringing us to you, for showing us yourself. And I pray, Lord, if anyone here has been brought to you, Lord, that they will accept you as their Savior, and they will know the peace that can come by knowing you, Jesus, knowing you as our Lord and Savior. We ask these things in your blessing on our day, on our loved ones, on our families and friends, of our fellowship, fellow believers, of those who we heard of from Dan, who are serving you around the world. Lord, so many people, Lord. There is a world full of Christians, and you are the vine, Lord, and we are the branches. We're all different, but we're all connected to you, Lord. Help us to be comforted, knowing that we're part of you, Lord. You are the vine who will take care of us, and as you let us do what you've given us with our spiritual gifts and the gifts that we have, Lord, help us to be the best we can be for you and to be comforted knowing that you will love us and take care of us. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.